Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Fucking get in there.
I am so thrilled right now.
It is an exciting time. Why is it? Why is it an exciting time?
I thought Brian was going to tell us, but he didn't.
It's exciting because we are talking to each other, and we're friends and friendship is good.
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 That's right. There you go. That's a stellar intro. Fucking nailed it. That shit's gold, man.
We got it. Perfect. Bam, bam.
We're all, in fact, we should just end it right there. We're not going to get better. We're not going to peak. That was all we needed. You've heard us. You've heard us. It's friendship. There's friends here. Some would say lovers. Me more than these three. I don't know. Maybe they don't know. Maybe I'm revealing secrets about myself that I didn't want to.
The spring has passed.
Two of the four of us know which two are lovers.
Oh, there you go. We'll keep you guessing to the end. We'll reveal spoilers for next episode. We'll reveal that. But it's episode two of the Anime on Tap podcast. You heard episode one. I'm going to say full disclosure now as well. We should probably be honest. It wasn't last week that we recorded it. It came out last week. I don't know why I'm pointing behind me, but, you know, it came out last week, but we actually recorded it last month, so there may be a little gap in between what we talk about if we suddenly talk about a few episodes, or in case you were wondering, like, last week, and you were like, why the fuck are they only on, like, episode three of a certain show or episode one of certain animes? That's why. So, you know, we want to be honest with all of you lovely people. But the bar's open. We're back. We had to, you know, we had renovations. That's why we were a few weeks behind, because obviously we were still cleaning up.
We did the rats and the dust are off the top of the bar. It's clean now.
You could.
Which is a nice change of pace, but we don't have any seats in the bar yet, so we're still working on that.
We're just huddling around at the moment. I mean, you could if you wanted to. You could flop your knob onto this nice clean countertop. Bar top.
Without fear of infection.
What's the word? I've forgot it. Bar top.
Bar. It's a bar top. We had this conversation
I know we
last
did.
Week.
And I was harkening back to it in my brain, and I couldn't think of what it was, but it's okay. It's a bar. But don't do it, because Matt's gone through a lot of effort to clean it up, so please don't. No genitalia on the bar, please.
So many Clorox wipes. Yeah. Do you know how expensive those things are these days?
Did you say cocks or cloths?
Clorox wipes.
Literally neither.
I was like, a cock cloth? You guys in America are fancy. You got your
cock cloth. That's good, though. I like that.
Man, you remember when you came into the country and every time you walked into the bathroom, there was that fancy man at the door who would go, wipe your cock, sir.
He was.
Can I prepare a hot towel for the sir's penis?
Oh, God, he's explicit.
You could have that guy. Well, there's nothing wrong with saying penis.
This would go much faster if you could erect yourself. I'm afraid while everything is limp, this is quite difficult to get inside the folds.
Penis folds. Interesting.
Who is this guy?
2 minutes in. He's the butler. You see, I did have someone like that who was in my school, but he told me it was completely normal. And not to tell a soul. So I'm glad it's not just me. But never mind.
That was the janitor.
That's him. Oh, yeah. That's what you called it, his cleaning cupboard. I thought that's where he kept his, you know, all his tools and bleaches. But instead, he just...
Yes, but
his name is
Grumbit. It is a well-known fact
that
all Americans have a tiny extra towel just for their genitalia.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, you may as well. Why not, eh? Because if you live in a first world country, you may as well. You have a bidet and you have a little cock cloth. So if you don't get one, get one. What's wrong with you? Moving on. This is an anime podcast.
Yes, please.
On that note, we'd like to introduce our first sponsor of the podcast, cock cloth. No. Also, don't confuse a cock cloth with Clorox, because that will be a very bad time.
It's a very bad burning sensation. Very clean. But not very comfortable.
Unrelated. I'm derailing the podcast immediately. We are going to talk about anime. I absolutely promise this. Also, by the way, my name's Simon. You've heard Curses. You've heard Matt. And you've heard Brian. We're all back again.
Hooray.
I'm one of them.
when I used to work at a sports store, one of the lads we worked with was one of the biggest sweetheart I've ever known. He was a lovely lad, you know, one of the happiest, go-lucky kind of people in the world. Bit docile, bit dumb, I'll say, which sounds harsh, but you'll understand why. One of the things he did was he went into the toilet and he went used the restroom, came out, and like he was scratching his arse for like an hour afterwards. And he's like, my arse is burning. He's like, it's them new like toilet wipes they've got. And we're like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, there's no toilet roll, so I used them toilet wipes. He used the bleach wipes that the cleaner left behind. He literally bleached his arsehole. And was confused. He saw that they said Dettol, which is a very big brand of like cleaning wipes and bleach and stuff in the UK, and thought, that'll do. I'll caress my pink star with that. There's a little balloon knot, but there you go.
No. I don't like either one of those. Those are both terrible. I hate them.
Balloon knot is the more accurate one.
The worst metaphors.
Balloon knot's pretty fantastic. Yeah, because you know exactly what you mean.
It is. Fuck. As long as you have good hygiene, you're not buying those brown balloons.
Gotta keep that chocolate starfish covered.
There you go.
The old rusty sheriff's badge.
Oh, I haven't heard that one before. What the fuck?
I haven't heard it in a long time.
Jesus.
I remember, I'm pretty certain that was a cheat code in like the N64 South Park game. As a child, no clue what it meant. But years later, now I get the joke. I understand it.
Yeah.
But with that all said...
Immediately off the rails.
Yeah. Let's get back onto track.
Please, let's move on.
We'll move on. What are you drinking, guys? Let's run around the table real quick. What you ordered from the bar?
I have an old-fashioned.
You might...
An old-fashioned what?
I'm a plebeian. Explain.
It's a cocktail. It's the old-fashioned cocktail. It's bitters and sugar and bourbon and an orange peel.
Based on that alone... Out of all four of us, if one of us was to have a penis butler, it would be you.
Yes. God, I can only wish.
I'm the old fashioned.
An old fashioned, sir. It's my job. That's...
Bourbon drinkers are always like that.
You go to a whiskey bar, well, Simon, penis butlers everywhere.
There will be openings, so you are free to audition to be my British butler.
Imagine that interview. It's like, there are some roles that we would expect you to perform that may not have been covered in your initial training. It's like, okay. I'm here to serve, my lord. However I may.
You know, you British are used to wiping your lord's ass, so that's how it goes.
It's true. I've never done it personally myself.
Just got to accustom yourself to the front end.
It's very similar, except it's more of an Audi than any.
On the opposite hemisphere, you do the opposite side.
There you go.
Okay.
We are going to escape all this right. black okay. hole of...
this... All right.
I'm so sorry.
This black...
All right, boys.
There we go. When Curtis talks like okay. that, it's time for us to hurriedly move on. I'm drinking Asahi again because I'm a weeaboo. I've also realized through...
Ooh, Asahi. I like Asahi.
This has not been deliberate, but I'm also wearing my All Might t-shirt, which is like one of the only piece of anime clothing I own. And that wasn't intentional for this show. It's just a really comfortable shirt, I promise. But you know what? I'm proud of it. It's a cool shirt. All Might's cool. So suck a dick if you don't like that. Also,
I won't have to
got water because I'm responsible. That's my pickle rig. Pickle rig? Yeah. Pickle Rick glass.
You have a pickle Rick?
I have
Rick?
A pickle Rick. My question to you,
man, you
is why don't you have a pickle rig? I can't even say it. I've said it six times and not said it correctly once.
I mean, did you get it out of irony?
No, someone bought it me.
You had to,
and I...
They bought you that as a serious gift.
I feel like it was a Secret Santa that someone bought and just thought, he probably watches Rick and Morty. He'll appreciate this.
Oh.
Although,
okay, because... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's... Although I'm not really a Pickle Rick kind of guy, you know, Pickle Rick and all that. It's fucking massive. It's an absolute unit, so you can have like a pint and a half in there. So I'm all for that. Practically, it's great, but aesthetically, not the best.
I see what you mean. Almost 2 years ago, me and my friends, we had our last little trip there. We got a blow-up Pickle Rick that was almost as big as you. And we got some nice pictures of us snuggling it in bed.
Me specifically.
What's that?
You said it's almost as big as me. Did you mean me specifically?
Or Simon?
No, I meant it's almost as big as you, like whoever's listening to this.
Oh, okay.
But one of my friends had to inflate it with his mouth, which I don't know, that took like an hour.
That's insane. Yeah.
It's hard enough to blow up a beach ball.
I was going to say, a human-sized pickle must take a fucking fair bit of air. He's got a set of lungs on him, that lad has, so fair play. He's a world champ.
Sorry, implicating.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anime. Anyway. Save us anime, please. Anime. Let's talk about a nice, pure, wholesome activity, which is watching anime. There's no degenerate shows that we've watched, I'm pretty certain.
Nothing degenerate. No. It's all very clean and above board.
There you go.
There's no weird things happening with high school girls.
Well, now I think about it, kind of. Only a little bit. Just a little kiss of it in Tokyo Revengers. But we'll move on to that. Because you may have been, if you are in the present year, in the present day, it's June, and we're in the peak of the spring season, the crescendo of it. And we're about to go into summer season. So we've got some catching up to do on the spring season. So let's go around the table, talk about what we've been watching or reading. You can throw in anything, any manga or whatever you want to in this section. We don't have a jingle for it, so we're just going to crack straight in. Curtis, what have you been watching for the spring season?
Okay, so for the spring season, I didn't watch the latest episodes, which is about episode 9. So I haven't seen that yet, but in the last few episodes, I've been keeping up again with Super Cub and Nagatoro. Nagatoro sucks, but it's like, it's weird because like every time the episode will start and I'm like, this is shit. Like there was one episode where episode 6, it had like an isekai start and it was the most boring thing. There wasn't even jokes. It was just like the main character woke up and Nagatoro appeared in like a cat girl outfit and they did something. It was so boring. And the whole point was just to have Nagatoro in a demon girl outfit. But it was way too elaborate and way too lame of a setup for that. But by the end of every episode, there's something where I'm like, I kind of like that. Like with the relation between the two characters and the interactions they have together, I kind of end up liking it. So that's weird. Like I said, it's not like a good show, but it has enough to warrant
the hook at the
watching
end.
The next episode. Yeah, because when you get the actual content of them being awkward with each other and stuff, it's actually kind of charming, you know?
They dangle that carrot just good enough that you keep coming back.
Yeah.
What's so...
Exactly. And it's weird because, like I said, the rest of the show is just not good. Like it's really... It's not that it's like bad. It's just like it's nothing. It's like oatmeal. It's dull to me.
Is it not heavy on the comedy then? Because like from the trailer I would assume that it was all jokes, like it's comedy, it's not, then relationship.
It's not funny, but I mean really? Maybe some people might find it funny.
Are they just bad jokes? Or are they trying to be funny?
I don't even, like, if I was to think of an example of the joke in the show, I can't even think of one off the top of my head. Like
that's
like some, see, one like of the, I said, reasons the isekai,
I really like, I really like the manga version because a lot of it's just reaction faces of Nagatoro.
That is pretty much it. Like there'll be scenes where something's happening with the guy and she gets jealous and does like a weird face or something. So a lot of the humor is stuff like, oh, he accidentally grabbed her ass and now she's embarrassed. Oh, like it's those kind of things.
Mm.
But like I said, the isekai scene was weird. It was half the episode and there was no jokes. Like they didn't even try to have comedy in it, but it was so boring. I was just like, this is such a waste of time. It's actually amazing how much this is wasting my time.
Yeah, that's really strange. Because like the reason you'd have, especially because it's set in the real world, if you'd have like a dream sequence per se, that's when you would have fun.
Should be like cool.
Yeah, yeah. Like you go like, over the top.
How isekai, it's so easy to make fun of. And they don't even try to do that. It was so lame. And it's really cartoony. There's these scenes where they were running and they had Sonic legs, like where it starts spinning in like a circle, like Sonic.
Yeah.
Every character does that in, I think, episode 7. They all do that at different times in the episode. And I'm like, they're oddly dedicated to this weird Sonic run. Like, and Nagatoro sometimes has these noodle arms as well with like a rounded edge.
Yeah,
that
no,
she
I
does
know
in every episode.
Yeah.
So I'm just like,
that's disappointing.
Like I said, there's something that keeps me watching, though. There's something that keeps me watching. So I got to give the show credit for that. You know,
if you just change the title to like Nagatoro sucks at flirting,
oh,
it would
yeah.
be more honest after about that's, three chapters.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. Yeah, pretty much it. But yeah, Nagatoro, that's that. And then Super Cub. So Super Cub is actually, I do really like this show. And I mentioned before, it's a really slow moving slice of life, really nice. And what I really like is the relationship between the two characters. How do you say her name? Like Koguma and Reiko.
Reiko.
Because you see how Koguma is like a little more passive and how she gets influenced by Reiko. And you see how she starts picking up on all these things and talking to people differently and kind of having a different attitude. And there's this great scene in episode 6 where there's like a school trip and she's sick, so she doesn't go, but then she decides to go and she rides on her motorcycle and she's not supposed to do it. And I don't know, there's this whole thing of like just breaking the rules with your friend in that episode that I really liked. I feel like it actually touched on some interesting and cool friendship dynamics that I haven't quite seen in other shows. So I like that about the series.
The anime bro code.
And
well, not bro code, it's the both girls.
Yeah.
They're
still bros. They're definitely bros, those two.
You could be bros, regardless of gender.
You know how nice it is to see an anime where the characters do something they shouldn't, and it doesn't tell you, don't do this? Like, how many series have you seen where they're like, don't do that? You know how nice it is to see a show and they're just like, they don't listen to the teacher and nothing bad happens to them. They just
like,
have fun. I'm like, I like that. It doesn't, you know.
When you say that, I immediately think of Dr. Stone, but I think it is warranted that Dr. Stone, when he's making like Dynamite, they say, seriously, do not do any of this. Oh. Try, do not. This is highly toxic gas.
That's
like
okay.
when he's making actual,
that's
literal,
okay,
like
yeah.
fucking, is it nitrous glycerin or whatever it's called? I don't know.
Yeah, like,
oh,
you
God.
Will go to jail or kill yourself.
Yeah, yeah, that's okay. That's fine. But do you guys, like, it was so condescending when you watch Fairy Tail and it opens with the stupid chibi face of Natsu.
Oh, God.
And he's like, hey, make sure the lights are on in your room and don't sit too close to the TV, you stupid
oh,
fucking
yeah.
idiot. That's basically what he says
to totally
you.
Forgot about that for, like, the first, like, 40 episodes
yeah.
is, like, the stupid, simplified,
yeah.
big fucking balloon face.
Yeah.
Of Natsu, and he's like, hey,
mm-hmm.
make sure you've got the lights on when you're watching TV. It's like, shut the fuck up now, Natsu.
Don't sit too close. It's Fairy Tale. Here's this show, it has all this fan service, all these tits everywhere and everything. God's fucking telling me not
yeah.
to sit close to the TV
exactly.
like I'm a kid.
Like
what is
you're
this?
Preaching to someone like you're a 6-year-old, but then also going, hey, check out Urza's titties. And it's a very
exactly.
disconcerting. Also, Natsu.
If you sit too close to the TV, you can't see the titties. They'll go blind.
That's what they should
That's
say.
True. He's just mentoring you for optimum titty vision is probably what it is. So you've got that full
like,
field of view.
The series probably got like more fan service heavy after I stopped watching it. But like the OVA, there's like the pool episode, the swimsuit episode. And remember, I thought that was one of the most... lewd things I've seen from like a series like
oh, the theme park when you go to the pool and Urza loses a bra.
Yeah,
that was smut. That was
Urza and what was Mistigan's
Jamal.
Other name?
But in the Japanese, they called him Gerard.
Jalal, right?
And I don't know which one's correct because in the English he's Jalal, and in the Japanese
oh,
it's
right,
Gerard.
Yeah.
But
okay. Yeah, there's like a whole bunch of scenes and stuff in that. And I don't know. It's just weird. It was just weird and condescending that they had that opening. But anyway, Super Cub. Yeah, I do like this show. I feel like sometimes this show's weird. There's parts in this episode. that happen every now and then where I'm just like, why are they doing that? That's kind of okay. But I still really like it. And it's like Nagatoro is like the opening act. It's like the trailer before the movie. And Super Cub is the main event for me. That's why I watch it last, yeah. You know? But those are the two shows that I'm keeping up with. So that's the report from episode 7 from me.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Nice.
How about you then, Matt? What have you been keeping up with?
I ain't watched shit.
Oh.
You know, between the move, my PlayStation still isn't plugged in. There's been a lot to do, so I haven't done anything. I haven't watched any actual anime, but I will tell you I have been watching the hottest anime from America in the 1990s, the live-action sitcom The West Wing.
What?
Okay, so news alert, I've recently been engaged, which is very fun.
Let's all pause and clap. Yeah. Congratulations. My God, look at the size of that diamond, man. Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh. But she's been watching The West Wing, and therefore I have been watching The West Wing. And it would make a great slice of life anime. About the president.
Aaron Sorkin is my favorite mangaka overall.
Explain.
It hits all the beats you want in like a heavy, you know, dramatic show where there's just a lot of people like talking to it all the time, but like really dramatically. Because that's all the West Wing is. It's just a bunch of like White House staffers in Washington talking to like other people in Washington to make things happen. And if you just like amp up the unneeded dialogue by like 10% and then animate it, you would have an anime. And if you had them fight on occasion, you would have JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Is this the one with Kevin Spacey in?
No. That is House of Cards.
That's House of Cards.
Okay.
In West Wing, the president is played by Martin Sheen.
Really? Mm-hmm. I wish it was Charlie Sheen.
Hey, Martin Sheen's his dad, right? He's in Apocalypse Now.
Yep, Apocalypse Now guy.
Okay, he's great in that
movie.
Is
Martin Sheen the main bad guy? The main vampire from Twilight?
Is he?
I don't know.
Is he? What?
I've never seen... I've seen one of the Twilight films, and I was fairly
intoxicated.
He is... I don't know.
No, Michael Sheen. Oh my God. Michael Sheen. That's who I'm thinking of.
Michael Sheen is a different thing.
Never mind. Ignore me.
Yeah.
But no, that's what... I haven't been watching anything good, I'm afraid.
That's fair. That's fair. You've filled my...
Yeah, I am going to do a big catch-up with all the shows I had been watching once that I am physically able to.
You filled my head with anime Kevin Spacey now. Now that's how I'm going to drift off to bed tonight.
I didn't bring up Kevin Spacey. That's all on you.
Good.
We got Call of Duty Kevin Spacey, anime Kevin Spacey.
What if they fought? What if all the Kevin Spaceys fought? I won't say what over. I won't say what the prize is at the end.
The Fred Claus. No, the Lex Luthor one would win.
The prize is when the Kevin Spacey's fight. That's bad. That's a bad touch.
No,
bad touch. So the court document said. But Brian, what have you been watching?
Uh-oh.
As someone who's also been just working mostly, I've gotten another like 20 episodes into Gundam. And that's about it.
Which part of the series is that?
So they finally started talking about maybe what a new type is.
Oh, that's when shit is like really good. That part.
Like
of the
show. We had Ron Baral come and go. Ron Baral's wife, who seemed really nice, has also come and gone.
Yeah.
And I'm about to get to Odessa Day.
Oh, that's the good shit. That's the good
okay.
Shit.
That's good. That's good.
It's getting the
boy. If there's ever a Gundam movie, they really need to do it while Nick Offerman can play Ron Baral, because that's fucking perfect casting.
I don't know what he looks like, but
So if you could imagine Ron Baral,
yeah,
that's Nick Offerman. Let me
Nick Offerman. Oh. Yeah. Okay, I see what you mean. Okay, I didn't know that that's what his name was, this guy. What's his character he plays that everyone knows?
Is Ron Swanson.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, he would be... He'd be Ron Burrell.
Holy shit, different does he look with a full beard? Jesus Christ! I did not recognize him there.
Like, you could maybe get current day Magnum P.I. Shit, I forget what his name is.
Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck, yeah. He can
do it. Tom Selleck's a bit old at this point, though, I think.
He's getting there, but he still looks same enough in, like, Blue Bloods, the cop drama that's been lasting, like, 10 years.
Yeah, I don't know. He's got an awful, like, wrinkly around the face. Yeah. Ron Burrell's a tighter man than that.
Could you please describe him differently?
I've always found Nick Offerman to be tight and masculine.
I'm just looking at a picture of Tom Selleck. His hairline's receding. His like eye sockets are drooping.
But the guy is like 85 or something. So
he is pretty old.
Yeah, we can't hold that against him. He's probably older than I will live to, like as of now. So
I've been. One thing I will say is I looked at the coming soon to Netflix list.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got the Godzilla anime coming out sometime in the middle of this month that I was looking forward to. They also have all three of the Mobile Suit Gundam compilation movies and Char's Counterattack coming in like the next couple weeks.
Cool.
And I really want to burn through all of the original Gundam before that hits. But I've also found that Zeta Gundam and Double Zeta are not on Crunchyroll.
Yeah,
so I might need to find an alternative way, wink, wink, of watching those, winkity, wink.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yo-ho, yo-ho.
So I wonder if they've redubbed the Gundam movies, because the original dub for the first Gundam movie is horrific. Like Captain Bright is a British guy.
Whoa!
Sailor's the
I'm interested. Sailor's
like French Canadian, and like she has a really weird accent. I think it's French Canadian. Sailor has.
She's from Quebec.
Char also Canadian.
Yeah,
because that it's would a be weird, an entirely though. Different movie if you just have like Quebecois Char.
Oh no, he's not. He's not. Obviously he should be if Sailor is, but. It's just a weird dub. It's really bad.
Seeing Zeon, eh?
But I don't know. I hope they have a new dub for that, because that would not be good.
Maybe.
People watch that.
All I'm saying is that it sounds to me like Netflix is stepping up its game, son.
But is it UK Netflix? Is it going on UK Netflix? You've always said UK Netflix.
UK Netflix. Game. It better have the Godzilla dub or Godzilla SP show on. I'm assuming it will. Normally, they've been pretty good with banging those onto the US and UK Netflix at the same time. If not, I'll just use the VPN and have to watch it that way, because I've really been keen to dip my toe into Godzilla SP. I shouldn't.
Yeah.
Thank God I thought to put the SP at the end.
That I did watch with the wife was the last season of Castlevania that came out. And that is really, really good.
It is.
After a kind of shitty third season, the writer, who I don't like, got outed as a sex pest and replaced by someone knows how to write characters. Other than just kind of stand around and swear, because old timey characters using curse words, that's cutting edge.
I have also watched Game of Thrones.
Yes. No, Warren Ellis, he's done some great stuff in the past, but he was not my ideal choice for a series about hunting vampires.
Hmm. That's good. It redeemed itself.
I need to get around to watching that one as soon as it's having the time. But I did watch the trailer. It looks pretty wild.
Mm-hmm. No, they got Malcolm McDowell as another vampire villain who does a great job.
I was going to say, that sounds dope as fuck. Malcolm McDowell's awesome.
I don't want to spoil who he is, but...
You've already said he's a vampire. I'm on to you. I know who he is. He's one of them suckers. So,
big kudos to that series. And that's about all I watched. I mean, I did watch Police Squad. Or no, The Naked Gun, that movie. But that's not
Naked Gun
anime.
It's not strictly anime. That's
a good movie.
Unless you can make an analogy of it being a slice of life, then I'll allow it.
It's a baseball anime. Sports anime.
Yeah, can't quite get that, no.
Fair enough. I guess for me then, I sort of, to throw my hat into the ring, I also have not watched as much as I probably should have in these 3-4 weeks, but I have been keeping on top of Tokyo Revengers, and I'm in a difficult position now because I know, Matt, you've been watching it, and I don't want to spoil anything. What episode are you up to on that one?
Revengers?
Yeah.
Wherever we left it last time, 3 or 4.
3 or 4, okay.
Yeah.
So.
I can just take my headphones out for a while. Let you talk.
I mean, that's fine. I can talk about it spoiler-free. So, I had gripes about the time travel in it. And if people weren't aware or they don't remember, Tokyo Revengers is basically the story of a guy who is down on his luck. He's a nobody, has never achieved anything. He works a dead-end job. He has no connections, no friends, really, no girlfriend. He's a virgin. They make sure to tell you that. And he gets pushed onto the train tracks out of the blue, and he goes back in time to 12 years ago when he was a teenager and he had the world ahead of him. He was cool. He was part of a gang. It was all gravy.
And great hair.
Fantastic. They all have great hair. And this, a very important prerequisite of being part of this gang of middle schoolers is to have colored or styled hair. And he had a girlfriend. That girlfriend died 12 years in the future. And obviously he goes back and sort of remembers everything around him, the people around him, before he sort of ran away from it all. And then he resolves to save all those people and change the past so he can save them in the future. So the time travel was a bit dumb. I mean, I've accepted it now. I'm 9 episodes in, but it works by him shaking the hand of the little brother of his girlfriend in the past. And he can only go back 12 years in the past. Like, it's a very strict thing that he can go back 12 years from that day. So, and time, when he's in the past, he's just unconscious in the present. But things change, but the little brother knows about the changes. It's really strange how they work it. But don't focus on that part. Don't worry about the time travel. It's just a gimmick. Because what really sucks you in is the actual, like, I thought that was going to break it for me, and I was not really going to be feeling the show because of the time travel, because it's a bit of a weak part of it. But then again, time travel is always a bit iffy in most shows, to be fair.
It's real hand-wavy in this show.
Exactly. They go, it's not important, just know he's gone back in time. But I really didn't think I'd be as interested in the gang, because basically he goes back in time and he's got to sort of, not necessarily infiltrate, but he's got to learn about a biker gang that becomes a big criminal syndicate in the future. And he meets them when they're younger, before they've obviously become these big mafia bosses, per se. And I actually found myself really engaged by the story of the mob boss. He's not really a mob boss, but Mikey, his name is. Although it's really annoying to hear the Japanese voice actor constantly go, Mikey! Mikey! It's really annoying.
Yeah, it's like a nickname. His name's real name is like Michiko or something like that.
It's somewhat Japanesey, but then a lot of them have English names. So like what the other one's Kenshin. But
yeah, they all have like weird English nicknames for each other,
which is kind of cool. But I found myself really engaged by the story. The animation quality is pretty decent. Not hugely. The characters are fine. They're serviceable. The character designs, especially the guy in the present, annoys me. But yeah, just really engaged by the story of it. You care about the characters more than you think you would on the surface, because I didn't think I'd be as invested as I am. And also, there's some cool set pieces on there. So there's a few cool fight scenes and a few cool brawls in there. There's one, not to spoil, I won't say what episode it's in, but there is one that's... there's a big... I'm going to put it to you guys, to the room. Say there's 50 gang members on one side, 50 bikers on the other side, right? They're going to have a big brawl, okay? Would you choose A, baseball bat to take with you, B, a lead pipe, or C, an umbrella? Which of these would you take to this gang war?
I feel like one of these lead things pipe, is not man. Like the other.
What's the weather forecast look like? Because there are
raining.
Factors.
It's raining while the fight happens. But it's really funny because it's like this big set piece where like there's a big brawl going on that shows people with bats, broken bottles, lead pipe. Like they're all fighting. Everyone's like brawling the fuck out of each other. And it's really cool. And then there's like one where a guy charges him with and he's like swinging an umbrella like a baseball bat. And the guy is blocking and defending like it was a lethal weapon. And then he steals it off him, snaps it over his knee, and then fucks him up. But I just found it really funny that it's like, this guy went into this brawl thinking, gonna fuck these boys up. And it's like, do you want to take your bat with you? Nah, fam, I've got this. You know, only can I be dry, I can also do some damage with this shit. Because I was like, is there going to be something
in it? I must say, there is some real fun fighting in that show.
Yeah.
It's not over the top, but it is very fun. It's very well executed fights.
I'm trying to think of the word. It pushes the boundaries of believability, shall we say. It's realistic.
It does.
But it's so absurd. So once you see, like, there's different sort of commanders, I guess, of different sects of this gang. They all have sort of different fighting styles you get a glimpse of throughout different episodes, which is kind of cool. Some are like boxers, there is one who literally picks a person up and like spins him over his head and then throws him, which is like a Tekken move or something. But, you know, it's anime. It's cool. I'll allow it.
And it's, for the most part, it is like teenagers fighting other teenagers. So it's a little bit easier to believe.
Mm. It's but just really good show. I definitely recommend it because it's one that on paper and also sort of even describing it doesn't really do it justice because I'm, I guess, a terrible reviewer, but really, really engaged in storyline. I actually like it's to the point now where I cannot wait for episode 10. Something big happens in episode 9 and I'm like, I fucking can't wait till Friday, man. I could go and read the manga, but I don't want to do that. You know, that's cheating in a spring season.
It's one of those where I think I might really pick up the manga after the anime wraps up.
Same.
I don't know how many episodes it's getting, but it has quite a run of volume so far. And it's a really fun show. I like it.
Definitely.
I like it a lot.
It's what really surprised me, because I thought it's going to be a 12-episode one-and-done kind of thing, but it's got 200-plus chapters. Last time I looked, so yeah, definitely one that's got scope for second season, and one that, like you say, I'd definitely be tempted to pick up the manga and read through it, because I think you said the art style in the manga is even better than the anime.
It's a little different, but I would say it's quite nice.
That is good. Right, other than that though, I've been watching My Hero Academia, the dub. Sorry, boo me all you want if you want to, but I'm not ashamed. Because All Might is great in that dub. represent. Not that anyone can see that at home who's listening. But yeah, that's a few weeks behind the sub, because they're not doing the simul dub anymore. So it's like 2 weeks before the sub episode. So I think I'm 2 or 3 episodes behind what it is on Crunchyroll. But yeah, it's a fun little arc. It's it's Class A versus Class B. They've just done round 3, which is Todoroki's fight, which Brian might remember if he's kept up with the manga to that point.
I do.
With him and Tetsu, it's a pretty decent little confrontation. I love that little arc. I love these little bits and pieces.
Getting to see Class B is a fun little peek into, like, there's a whole other story going on.
Yeah, there's some who have really cool abilities in there, and then there's some who are just stupid. Like, there's the guy who's got the manga head, and his design is literally a blank page of a manga. Like, that's his head.
Ah.
And his ability is onomatopoeia. So if he says something, he can make that happen, basically. So if he says crash, like, it's kind of like Levy and Fairy Tale, like her script magic, where she would make words and they'd do the effect that she said. So if he says crash, like, these big letters will come out and hit someone, which is a really cool, powerful ability. But yeah, his design's terrible for me. It's a mixed bag, the My Hero Academia. Yeah. So I'm not always his biggest fan of some of his designs, but some of them are really cool, or some of them hit high points. I mean, you can't go onto Twitter or Reddit.
Frog Girl's
been usurped by Bunny Girl. Mirko, I think her name is, or Micro.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I've seen a lot of that recently.
Dark skin bunny
girl. You
get
a lot of Mirko. You get a lot of Mount Lady.
Yeah.
I've been seeing more of the, like, mushroom dress girl, as long as we're talking about Class B.
She's a cool design, though. My girlfriend's
favorite.
I like
Frog Girl the most.
Frog Girl's cool.
The weirdest design, speaking of Class B, is the American exchange student who looks like a 60s era anime design. Like, she looks like something from Osamu Tezuka.
What's her name? Let me have a look.
I cannot for the life of me remember anyone's name.
Oh, yeah. I could just about remember the main cast. Frog Girl is Suyu.
Who's the brown girl who wears, like, the kind of police outfit?
Cammy.
That's one of the other schools.
Okay,
that's just
that's number one.
Uniform.
She's actually number one.
She's
I changed my number one vote.
Cammy. Oh yeah, she's got the body glove on and the police hat. They had a really cool design. I fucking love that that school. Because there was the guy with the, like, wind gauntlet who looked really cool. Yeah, she was pretty fun. Obviously, she was actually one of the bad guys. She was Himeko.
Oh.
Using her shape-shifting abilities, sadly, so didn't really see much.
I'm just here for the old-timey grandma nurse.
Oh, healing girl, who's like 80. I don't know why she's called girl when she's really, really old. But the manga is pretty. What I like about the My Hero manga, I'm going into manga now, so sorry everyone. But they did the flip of the switch, which I really was hoping that they would do, where obviously it was a hero society and heroes ruled and heroes kept order and faith and everything, and then basically the main big bad guy did the big attack, and now everyone's kind of lost faith in heroes. Heroes have just quit because not only do the public not like them, but jobs have dried up, so they don't get money, and they're like, do you know what, fuck it. Like, it's not... So, like, basically there's barely any heroes left, and the world is in turmoil again. The big bad guy has gone into every prison and released, like, every villain, so it's just a free-for-all. So I really like that, sort of exploring that bit where the hero society has broke down now, and it's an interesting direction. I didn't think they'd go for a shonen, so I'm really glad that they've done that. Wait to see where it goes. I don't know how many chapters are left. I hope that they would take their time exploring it, but I get the feeling that there's about 100 at most. And then it's over. But we'll enjoy the ride.
They've talked about how there's, like, one more arc left in the tank.
It's shonen, though, so I know when they say one arc, but it's like, that could be 200 fucking chapters. Oh, we've just got this one. Like, I think people talk about, you know, like, the Bleach, the final arc was the Thousand-Year Blood arc, and it was exactly 200 chapters, or 205 chapters, which is fucking insane. Like,
it's like a third of the run.
Yeah, it's 4 years worth of material, like, in a manga, so it's massive. Oh, but yeah, that's pretty much what I've been watching. I did also watch the movie Weathering With You. I don't know if anyone's seen that one, but it's from the same director and probably the same studio, which I should check I should look up, but I won't. Who did Your Name? If you remember that a few years back.
Oh, they did it. They made another movie.
Yeah. Like that. I preferred Your Name. I think I enjoyed Your Name better.
Did it have a song as good as Zen Zen Zen's?
It did not. Also, the Radwimp Sparkle was amazing in Your Name. I fucking love that song. It did have some decent music, but not as good. In general, I'd say it's just not quite as good. Like, I enjoyed it as a movie, but it's basically...
Yeah.
It was a nice little plot. The animation was brilliant because it's the most beautiful water effects I've ever seen in any anime, like in terms of the rainfall, in terms of puddles and the ocean and all sorts. Like, they had amazing water effects, like 11 out of 10. That's where a lot of the budget went. But in a nutshell, the plot is that there is a girl who can chase the rain away and she can bring sunshine because Tokyo has been covered in rain for like years in this world. Like, it rains more and more and more frequently. Okay. So if she prays, she can get rid of it, and she's the weather girl, the rain girl or something they call her, the rain maiden, something like that. But the more she does it, the
rain
more
maiden.
Something like that. I'm forgetting the actual name that she had, but the more
I might use that as a song title. I don't know.
I think she was the weather maiden or rain. She wasn't rain girl. That's a terrible name. Rain girl, she's here.
We've also
got a little doggy with us as well. He's sitting on Matt's knee. It's adorable.
Yeah, it's a little doggy. Dog. Mm-hmm.
Bia's got
she was nicer.
Yeah.
She's a warrior princess. She's destined to be fierce. little
we're working on it. We're working on it.
But
8 pounds of whoop ass.
11 and a half. We weighed her on Saturday.
She's gonna kick some ass. Mailmen better beware. Across the US states. But yeah, basically she's this weather girl. There's a guy who's a runaway. We never know. We never find out why he ran away from home. He just did. He ran away from home, is homeless, but this girl helps him. She works at McDonald's. They actually have the sponsor of McDonald's, which is, you know, it's not WeckDonald's. It's full on got the gold notches the right way around. Better believe it.
Yeah.
So she helps him, serves him. And she, so obviously he becomes infatuated with her over the course. And he builds a website for her and they get jobs to chase the rain away for a day for somebody's wedding, for somebody, it's for a festival, for a school or for a market. And they become really popular. They find out eventually that obviously the more she does it, eventually she becomes... She needs to pass over to the other world, to the rain world or something. I don't remember what they called it because I was tired when I was watching it. But the more she uses her power, the more that she's going to be gone. Because in ancient times, these weather maidens would be sacrificed to get rid of the rain once and for all. And then good weather will come back. And there's like, because she doesn't go, there's like a super severe like flood. And constant rainfall. Eventually she passes over herself and the guy goes to get her because there's like a little Shinto gate on top of a building to pass over to that world. So he runs up to that. But also there's the subplot of because he's a runaway, he's wanted by the police because he also happens to have a gun because he found it. And it never really comes into play. He just keeps a gun on him and he pulled it out on a guy. And because he got caught for pulling a gun out on like some shady guy, the police are after him and they think he's armed. So there's a big chase scene of him getting to this gate and he pulls the gun out. But then he ends up going through the gate anyway, and he rescues her. And then he comes back with her, and it's raining again. And it's really weird because it flashes forward to like 3 years, and it's like, okay, he got arrested, he got sent back home, lived with his parents, graduated there, comes back to Tokyo. 2 years later, he hasn't spoke to her already, he hasn't kept in touch. He's coming to meet her for the first time after like 2 or 3 years. Tokyo is like half it's flooded because it's constantly rained because she's there. You would think if she has this power to always bring rain with her, she'd just fuck off somewhere inland or somewhere high. Like, do that. Don't live in the bay.
I had this exact same problem with Your Name. It was like a fun concept. And then at the end of the movie, they're like, fucking, what was it? An asteroid meteor shower or some shit. The whole town's getting destroyed. I'm like, why can't they just switch bodies and it's fun? Like,
I didn't mind it. The problem with that was because like, it relied on the, oh wait, his memory or her memory's gone. Like, do you know when at crucial times they needed to remember something and it's like, oh no, wait, they don't. Yeah. Like, why can't he remember her name? It's like, write it down, motherfucker. You had a fucking diary of it. How come it affects your phone? But then, you know, you have to, it's kind of like the time travel thing. You have to kind of accept it, let it be.
I hate time travel, man. Like, anything that that's what I didn't like Endgame, and the main reason for that was fucking time travel. I hate it as a trope.
Really?
I don't like it. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we don't need to talk about Endgame, but I do want to talk about something else that I was watching.
Go for it.
So, we got to do this as a test. I'll say a word, you guys tell me what show I'm watching, okay?
Okay.
Chocolate Cornets.
Lucky Star.
Lucky Star.
Yeah, they're okay, good. Just have to make sure. Anyway, so
uh-oh.
I had to make sure everyone still knows it, you know? So I'm watching Lucky Star again. I watched it 8 years ago, and it kind of made me shit my pants to realize that it was 8 years ago that I watched this fucking show. Jesus. Because I watched Lucky Star
12 years ago.
Oh!
It did. It came out in like 2006. Seven, I think.
Yeah, it came out just after Harry.
I watched it about the same time it came out. It just feels terrible, doesn't it, though?
Yeah, like when I was really getting into anime, everybody had Lucky Star profile pictures and like the Transformers message boards in like 2008. You'd see it all the time. I don't know if Lucky Star is that popular now. And same with Haruhi. I don't know if either series is as popular nowadays.
No, I wouldn't say.
Definitely not.
Probably not, eh?
Which is a shame.
But I always thought of Lucky Star like when I was 12 and I looked and I was like, why would I watch an anime about girls? That's weird. I want to watch about robots, you know?
And then like, the Transformers
On the Transformers forum, I see pictures of Konta and people's profile picture. I'd be like, why do you watch a show about girls? You're dumb. Because you know, when you're 12, you're like that.
I just want to watch Goku punch a motherfucker.
I want to watch Gurren Lagann and watch fucking men. I don't want to watch men. Like, this is. Meanwhile, I watched Full Metal Panic and I loved the romance between Sosuke and Kaname. But when I was 12, you know, it didn't click. But anyway, so I always was like, Lucky Star is dumb, but it was always in my head. So years later, finally watched it, and I didn't quite get it the first time I saw it, but this time I'm really getting it a lot more now that I've seen a lot more and now that I know what the series is supposed to be. I'm actually really enjoying it. Okay. I'm on episode 9 now, and it's a very fun series. Like, it's not one to binge watch, you know, because it's really, I love the way they talk in Lucky Star, because they'll be walking around and then they'll just be like, hey, did you hear about this terrible crime that happened? Like, they talk like real people. It's like a glimpse into little parts of their lives, you know. And they have very natural sounding conversations in the series. The only thing is, Konata is like a self-insert otaku character. So doesn't quite feel as realistic as some of the other characters, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a reason all the 16-year-old boys on the internet in 2008 were obsessed with her.
She was voiced by Wendy Lee.
They thought she was... Wendy Lee was great in the dub, but Aya Hirano in the sub, though.
Fair enough.
Great. I did love the dub. Lucky Star is a great dub. I watched it in dub originally, and Wendy Lee was awesome as Konata and Haruhi. I thought both those, and it was great.
Did you know that Wendy Lee and Aya Hirono voiced Konata and Haruhi? That's a little secret.
I was about to say, that was very smart that they did that, that Wendy Lee got to do both of Aya Hirono's roles.
I feel like that's... That's like the first fact people wheel out. They wheel out the old same voice actor. It's like, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm aware. Yeah. I know. That's kind of the point.
I always thought it was weird in Haruhi that they had her sing the songs, like God Knows. They had her do English versions, which I guess kind of makes sense when you think about it.
Haruhi is far superior to the sub, I'm just going to say. Fucking Crispin Freeman as Kyon.
The Haruhi dub is great. I can't really deny that because it's actually one of my favorite dubs. So
I fucking love it.
Any dub from Bandai Entertainment, all those dubs that I've seen are really great. They're actually really, really good dubs. Like, again, Lucky Star. So you don't think Lucky Star Slice of Life would have a good dub? Because if you guys have seen clips from the Love Live dub, it's fucking hilariously bad.
I have not, but I'll take your word for it.
Well, the original Love Live. Sunshine actually had an okay dub. I don't remember what her name was, but the girl who voiced Yoshiko in the dub sounded amazing. I loved her voice. But anyway, what I was going to say, Lucky Star, the opening song is like Stairway to Heaven for otakus.
No. I'm going
like,
to.
It is that iconic.
This is where I'm going to disagree.
It is that iconic.
Okay, it is iconic. Yeah. Yes. I will concede that it's iconic, but I really don't like it.
It's Free Bird, Stairway to Heaven, Won't Get Fooled Again, Layla, Sweet Home Alabama level of iconic.
Like, I suppose.
Know what I mean?
In recognition terms. Like, we have
Lucky Star opening, Cowboy Bebop opening, probably the greatest anime opening ever. Evangelion opening, probably the most popular. But I always think Lucky Star is one of the top tier in terms of like iconicness, you know? And it's a great song. I always love the. Let's get cherry pie high. It's fun. I love that song.
It's such a strange intro.
It's very jarring.
Have you ever listened to the bass line? Because the bassist on the opening of Lucky Star is going insane. He's playing insane shit on that track. If you listen to the bass line on the Lucky Star opening, you're going to be like, what? Like, why did he play this amazing bass line on this song? It's such a good slap bass part. But and at the end of Lucky Star, they do the karaoke thing. And that was fun when you have Konata singing Chala Head Chala and songs like that at the end. Lucky Star is good. I'm happy to watch it again. It's again, I appreciate it more than I did before because I understand. And I just know more anime because there's so many references in Lucky Star as well, you know. You don't necessarily have to get all the references to enjoy the series, but it's kind of better if you do.
Yeah. I definitely missed a lot of them. I know the Gundam one's okay at the time, but I would be interested to check it again and see how well it worked out.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Dragon Ball, and I love this. There's a lot of Full Metal Panic references in Lucky Star, and that makes me very happy. Anytime they reference Full Metal Panic, I'm like, yes. Because it's Kyoto Animation. So, of course, they'd reference their own shows.
That makes sense. I definitely watched Full Metal Panic like the summer, probably after I watched Lucky Star. But it definitely sounds right.
Another series that's not popular anymore.
I have to check this out.
Yeah, Lucky Star's great, man. You should definitely put it on your probably pretty long list.
I mean, I do have the wall scroll.
You do have the wall scroll. I'm watching the intro again, and it's all coming back to me.
Yeah, I don't want to imitate it, but... Oh, yeah, the side character, like the cop and all of them, but... The first second of the Lucky Star, the first part of Lucky Star opening is kind of annoying. It's one of those songs that as soon as it starts, you're like, oh, why did they start on that line? But it gets better as it goes on. And it's actually very catchy as well. Like the chorus and, oh God, he's taking the Lucky Star scroll out. Oh, there they are. They're doing karaoke, isn't it? Yeah. I was going to say, Kagami was always my favorite character in Lucky Star. I always really liked Kagami. She was the most, like, relatable and perhaps normal character of all of them, if that makes sense. Even though she was the tsundere.
You know, what is striking me weirdly about this opening that I never caught in the past is that the very last frame of the opening is one of their uniforms draped over a school desk.
Yeah.
Which implies one of them is boning down into the classroom.
Maybe they changed into their cheerleader outfits in the classroom.
I suppose.
Because they have the cheerleader outfits before that.
True.
They do.
It is kind of a weird thing. I never thought about how suggestive that is. And it's like almost night out. It's like evening. It has evening lighting when it shows that last frame as well. So I never thought about that.
Yeah, that's exactly when you have sex in a classroom once everyone's gone.
Oh, God. Konata's dad in Lucky Star is a real weirdo, too. He's like actually like a fucking pedo. Like he's
he should be in jail.
Underage girls. Yeah, like he does crime. He commits crime against underage girls in the show, and it was always weird that Konata's mom is dead. Like it was like a weirdly real thing for a series like Lucky Star and everything. It was always like, oh, that's interesting.
Because she
like,
always stopped him, you know, committing his crimes and peeping on underage children.
Yeah, he's fucking
had to get her out of the way.
Not good.
Well,
but anyway, we're not, so that's Lucky Star.
Yeah, so if we're not ruining our past anymore by reexamining Lucky Star too much, does the barman recommend anything today?
Okay.
The barman has to think because he forgot about this segment.
I wasn't strictly intended on doing it every week, but I do have one. So it's time for Barman's Recommends. I said it wrong, but it's okay because I'm a few beers deep. So these are tall boys. These are big bottles. So you know.
Oh, those are big ones.
Yeah. These are my big boys.
Is that the actual Japanese Asahi or is it the Italian one? Because we only get the Italian one in the cans over here.
Don't know. It says it's from Japan.
Oh, so it probably is the real one. We get the fake kind over here.
That's bizarre, man. Why would they bother making two kinds? Just make one.
I'm not sure.
I don't know if it's two kinds. I think it's just that distribution is...
One's brewed in Italy.
Oh. Okay.
But anyway, what were you saying?
Anyway, Bomb recommends. Real quick then, because I don't think we mentioned it on the previous episode, and want to say, send our condolences, belated condolences to Kentaro Miura, who is the creator of Berserk, which is one of the most iconic mangas, and I guess animes as well, if you want to include the 2016 anime.
Or
in
the
addition
original,
with the original.
The 90s one.
I feel like the 2016 has colored people's perception of Berserk's animes, but yeah, the original one was decent. Mm-hmm. Gone far, far too soon, but that is my recommendation, is to check out the Berserk manga, because... Normally I'm not a big buy the physical things because obviously they take up a lot of room manga, but the physical Berserk ones look fucking cool. Like, so I would definitely recommend buying Berserk. There's not a lot I can say about it to recommend it because every fucking person on the planet who's into anime has at least heard or knows something of Berserk.
Everyone knows Berserk, but I've never read it. One of my friends watched it and he read a bit and always talk about how cool it is. But I never actually watched it.
I was going to say, it's nice and gritty. You got these, the original, you know, big badass with a big ass sword. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, there you go. Watch Berserk. Read Berserk, even.
It doesn't get much better than naming your character Guts.
His name's Guts. He looks cool.
The only way that could be costly better is if he's called fucking Balls. I don't know, man.
Big swinging testicles. That's what his name is.
Big grandfather clock.
There you go.
Cock.
I think that was the quote I used for the first episode. I decided on a whim that I was going to capture random quotes from each episode and put them in there. So,
fair enough.
Yeah, there you go. I'll verbatim, the quote was, this is a series that swings its big giant balls around like a grandfather clock. So interpret that as you will.
from my Savajibu review.
Because you've not said the pendulum of the grandfather clock. So it's like you swing it around an entire fucking grandfather clock, which is a pretty hefty boy to be popping between your legs.
Yeah. I want everyone to... I'm not going to explain what I meant by that, by the way. I want everyone to figure that out for themselves.
There you go. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's fucking whipping them bollocks around. Like nobody's business. Nice and quick one. What? Read Berserk. Also read Vinland Saga as well, because that's quite similar in kind of tone and aesthetic. And it's quite enjoyable as well. Or watch it. And it also had a kick-ass opening as well. You want to get on openings. Now... Ladies and gentlemen,
no,
it's not time for the round table. It's time for pitch plot, pitch plot. Pitch We're going to do a pitch and a plot a lot. There you go. There's your jingle for that. Insert the one that Manimal ends up making really tomorrow.
Oh, God. Well, I made three. I made an opening. I made two jingles. I don't know.
You made a barman's recommend. You made a round table.
Oh, that's what I made them for. Okay.
It was decided.
It's coming in hot. So show what you got.
Okay.
It's time.
I got to say this. I'm kind of
to pick a plot.
Perfect. I like that.
There's our jingle. We got it. But what I did for the round table, if anybody did this, I would be pissed off and I would hate them.
Okay.
If they did what I did for the roundtable song. So, roundtable, I did the part of the song Puzzle by Roundtable for the roundtable.
I wouldn't have got
if anyone did that, I would fucking hate them. But I did it. So, in the end, you become the thing you hate the most. Anyway, carry on.
You either die a hero or you copy someone else's song for your jingle.
But what you didn't copy was the opening, and I will just say I fucking love the opening. You need to do like a longer version that I can fucking jam to, because it's only like 30 seconds and I fucking love it. So
it's the AC/DC song Back in Business.
Is it really?
It is.
Well, anyway,
there you go. I can
don't tell anyone.
I guess I'll look
that it's an AC/DC song.
I thought I was like,
get out this whole section song of the podcast now. It's just completely wiped.
It's an obscure song from the album Fly on the Wall.
I was like, this is amazing. He has struck gold. He's just come up with this like that. Like, oh God, this guy's a genius. Only to know it's AC/DC.
I shouldn't have told you.
Yeah, you should have sent me.
Anyway.
Should have gone, yeah, I've made a full version and just send me the AC/DC song with like a different name. Like, just a different tag. Yeah. And I'd be like, The different voices you do there, man, that's incredible. That's really good.
It sounds like you're singing through a rain pipe on this song, like Elmo, but I love it.
Man, just style's incredible.
Yeah.
It's now time for Pitch Plot. If you listen to the last episode, at the very end, we set a nice little challenge where we spun two roulette wheels, and it chose us a genre and a subgenre, and then we each picked out for the other person. We went round a little circle, so to speak, and picked them two things, a theme that they must include in their story. So hopefully we've all written something down. Again,
hopefully.
I will be more lenient on you because I realized this was 4 weeks ago. And if you're anything like me, I wrote mine the day after, then I have no clue where I've saved it. So I've had to remember the fragments of what I'd written, and I've popped that down and written it down on my phone. So what we'll do is, I've not really decided a firm way of how we would judge this. We'll just go round, pitch the plot. You can talk about your characters if you want to. I don't really know how much or how little everyone's done. We're just gonna try it and see what goes down. So out of all of you four, then, who wants to go first?
I can go first.
Oh, go on then, dude. So,
you gave me this, Simon. You gave me this one.
We should preface by what we gave each other. So
right, we should always lead off with what you started with.
Do you remember? Because it's probably better if you remember.
Yeah. I ended up on the Wheel of Fortune thing. I got Wheel of Fortune, whatever, you know what I mean. I got Comedy Idol. And then Simon gave me Kiss and Bionicle were the two other things that I had to use in this story. So here we go.
Playing to your wheelhouse.
For a little context to everyone, in 1977, Kiss played in Japan for the first time in Tokyo, Osaka, Kyoto, and somewhere else. And you know each member planted seeds. You know what happened. So in this world, again, they went there... 1977, Rock and Roll Over Tour, did what they did because they're a rock band in the 70s. And in this story, each member planted their seed in hope that their offspring would join forces in the future to protect the island of Japan.
Wish you didn't have to phrase it that way.
Fired their love guns.
Yeah. I should. Why didn't I say that? God, they fired the love guns. Yeah.
And they rock and rolled all night. Before they
took him for a rocket ride. Mm-hmm. In 2021, the grandchildren of Kiss have all met by chance at an auditorium for a new idol group, or an auditorium, Jesus, for an audition. I'm reading this, that's why I'm getting all messed up. For a new idol group named Chikara, the four members meet up and feel strangely bonded with each other. Their manager, Sean Coyne, presents them with a song from a long time ago called Shout It Out Loud. The girls feel a dormant power awaken in them as they sing the song, and suddenly it all clicks. With the success of Japan's life-size Gundam that was made in 2020, the government has decided to make a giant walking bionicle to honor the 20th anniversary of the Toa Mana. They create giant forms of all six of the original Toa across the country, and then they go crazy and start taking over. The members of the new idol group Chikara are getting used to their powers, and they're all like the Kiss members. So you have like the demon. There's one girl, and she can like shoot fire and has a long tongue. And then this space girl who, I don't know, shoots lightning or something, or rockets out of her fingers. The star child. Oh, Paul doesn't do anything. I don't know. She shoots beams out of her eyes. I don't know. She flies. I don't know. And then the cat girl. That's the most obvious one.
The Neko Mimi.
Peter Chris one. It's just, she's just the cat girl. Yeah, she's just the Neko Mimi. Anyway, the members are getting used to their powers when suddenly the giant Tahu robot crashes the studio. The girls fight him with the power of song or some shit, and hijinks ensue. Now the prophecy is foretold that the girls have to save Japan while also balancing a normal school life, which is how this is comedy.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So that's my premise.
Very good. Alrighty. Very good.
Okay.
It has some historical real life themes in it, you know?
I'd say real life themes, definitely. Yeah, I suppose.
Themes might be a strong word for it.
Some things that happen in real life come into the story.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Just like the giant bionicles that Tokyo built.
because the Gundam was so successful, the next logical step wasn't a Transformer, it wasn't Gal Gigar, it was a fucking Bionicle. It's
clearly the original six Bionicles.
Yeah.
As made by a Swedish company.
Or Danish, but yeah. There we go. That's my
amazing
story.
Amazing. Brilliant. Thank you very much, Curtis. Right. A strong opening, I'm not going to lie. That's going to take some toughing. I think you suggested things to Matt, I believe. So, Matt, you'll be next.
Yes.
Indeed. Okay, I will go next. I'm trying to make my plot make sense. And my plot was based around fantasy, supernatural. It was a supernatural fantasy. Painting restoration and woodwork, which is what I got from Curtis.
That's what I gave
you. I forgot that's what he gave you to work with.
Why did I give you that?
I don't know.
Neither do I.
I wrote my plot on a little sticky note, and it's in the form of a My Anime List synopsis.
All right.
In a rapidly industrializing world, powered half by science and by magic, ancient rivalries flare up as disparate races find themselves living side by side in the new cities. In this tumultuous time, famed carpenter, there's the woodworking, Xiao Gud, the half-demon, patronized for his exceptional skill, has gone missing. He has left behind packages addressed to all of the royal families on the continent. In each of them is contained a patent, painting, each in a unique and exceptionally detailed frame. The paintings depict an unknown landscape which defy the greatest knowledge of known geography. To solve this mystery, the last of the so-called Delving Mages has been brought in, and his task is to enter the alien and mysterious painted worlds and discover Xiao Gud's fate. And that's what I got.
Hey, oh shit! So the painting's like Mario 64, And he go in?
Exactly. They're like Mario 64, and the protagonist, who I did not name, is like the last of the mages who know how to use the magic to like enter paintings.
Oh, okay. Okay,
okay. That's like a real story.
That's pretty good.
All right.
I really like...
Woodworking was... And the idea is he's a painting restorationist, but I didn't write that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Admittedly, like what Manimal gave you.
I don't know why I did that.
He threw you a curveball there to say. Okay, okay.
Just make a plot around that botched restoration of the Jesus painting done by the old woman.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
if right. If I was given comedy, I might have, but I had fantasy and supernatural.
That's true. You did stick to your... You stuck to your genre, so that's true. That's fair enough. Brian.
And I gave Brian his ideas, which were...
You gave me ice cream and spaceships.
I did.
And my genres were comedy and martial arts. The galaxy-renowned martial artist Jeremiah Hahn isn't having a very good week. He was framed for the murder of a triad crime boss, disavowed by his kung fu school, and dumped by the woman he loved. Now he's on the run from the law, an interplanetary crime syndicate, and his own emotions. Jeremiah hijacks the first spaceworthy ship he can find, a lightspeed-capable ice cream ship, and hightails it to a mining settlement in deep space. Upon his arrival on a distant planet, Jeremiah attempts to keep a low profile in the most conspicuous ship possible. He adopts the name Low-G after his ship's constant low-gravity warnings. The new planet's low gravity also makes everything, every fight, into a wuxia-style martial arts spectacular, since the recoil of gunshots make the use of firearms impractical. Low-G splits his time between selling ice cream to the neighborhood kids and teaching a new form of martial arts to the members of the community, including the beautiful Sheriff Natasha. It doesn't take long before the two strike up a budding romance that is immediately cut short by an attack from triad members that have finally located Low-G. He spends the middle third of the plot fighting off assassins and trying to keep his newly adopted community safe until a final assault from a large squad of crime goons forced Low-G into a corner. There's a big climactic fight before the town comes in to help wallop the triads, including the family leader that was responsible for the actual murder Low-G is framed for. Everybody lives happily ever after, and Low-G drives off into the sunset with a just married sign attached to a shitty ice cream ship.
Okay.
Okay, That's pretty good. I like the explanation for why bullets wouldn't work in that, and the martial arts is pertinent. That was really good. Oh.
And I'm struggling to remember what I told you. I know one of them was let's just do Hitler. And then immediately back down because I shouldn't have done that.
So, I was tasked with mystery and idols as my two genres. And then I was also had to include the themes of cowboys and, of course, Hitler as well in my show. So,
oh no,
I've kind of bullet pointed it. I haven't written it like a synopsis, which I kind of wish I had because yours have all read better, but hopefully you can grasp the plot from this. So, a group of detectives live a double life as idols. These young ladies made an idol group to promote their business when they were getting no custom. However, while this has led to increased popularity, it has unfortunately led to no one taking them seriously and then being treated as a joke. They are led by Konami, the oldest. She is a classic hard-boiled veteran detective formerly from a big agency in Tokyo, who has a fondness for tobacco, whiskey, and wistful monologues. One day, a rural farmer comes to them. At his wit's end, having been unable to afford the other detectives, he reveals that cattle keeps disappearing. The police believe it is simply to be the work of either rival farmers or wild animals, and don't appear to be of any help. Sayaka is tasked with staking out the place. She is a rookie, fresh on the team, the only actual idol who got confused at what the group was actually... for the group at what she was applying for. They eventually venture out to the farm, and it is revealed that the prized cow is missing. It was a cow with a legendary lineage dating all the way back to the 1880s from America. After staking out the farm, they discover the cattle thieves. However, the getaway method used is not one that the girls expected. These cowboys spun a dial on their cowboy hat, and the bandits were able to travel in time. The girls unfortunately grab hold of them just as they are hurled back in time, straight to the Wild West in America. They must now use all of their skills to attempt to blend in, whilst also finding the culprits and the reason they've been stealing these cattle. Here comes the twist, by the way. It turns out Hitler was behind it all. He used his top secret Nazi time travel powers, which is a thing, to head back to the beginning of America's rise to power. By taking back the prize cows, he plans to breed a fleet of priceless cattle before importing them all to Germany, draining America of its precious, valuable beef and cattle trade. Using this newly found cow money, Hitler will fund nuclear research and make his country super rich in preparation for World War II. The girls must find Hitler hiding in the Wild West and put a stop to his nefarious scheme.
Good twist.
Okay.
Thank very you, and twist. I'm sorry.
So I'm just going to say, really good efforts, all four. I'm struggling to... We haven't really picked criteria to vote on.
No, we didn't really pick criteria for creating these too much either.
That's true.
Or what form they would take.
My gut is telling... I'm just going to vote. I'm just going to say they're all good. But if I had to choose one, I'm going to choose Curtis. Because Kiss spreading their seed and then their descendants fighting Bionicles.
And you see in the chat, I posted a picture of Kiss with a bunch of ladies in robes backstage. So
there's, there's the mothers.
There's a real life connection.
There's the grandmothers.
Yeah.
Who got railed by Kiss.
There's a real life connection here. Just saying.
I'm saying, yeah, that's my vote. I'm gonna go Curtis on this one.
Those women all look so uncomfortable.
I know.
Yeah.
They're not happy to be there.
They're just like, who are these fucking freaks? Why do we have to do this?
Well, maybe the one in the blue on the left.
She knows who Kiss are.
She's smiling.
She owns a tape player. She knows who they are. But
she's with Catman. Yeah. She's fine.
Curtis, who does your vote go to?
Well, I gotta say, Matt actually gave an anime storyline.
Yeah,
like his is potentially the only one that could be an anime.
Oh no, we're all gonna vote for the next person on. What happens in a four-way tie?
But I gotta vote for Simon because the plot twist really.
Well, Hitler always gets them. It reels them in.
It's hard. It's hard when there's such a big twist. That doesn't. That wouldn't be an anime though. Like that would be like some B movie. Like,
are you telling me that you get a 12 episode series and episode 10 is the reveal that Hitler's the main bad guy? And then you get the backstory of him using his Nazi time travel powers to come back to the Wild West. That'd happen. I could see that happening. I've watched too much anime to not believe that is in the realms of possibility. Okay.
Well, after Tanya, maybe.
The Saga of the Evil. Oh, brilliant. That'll be on the next bomb and recommend.
And, what was that other show? There's another show. That you got when you guys watched. I don't remember who watched it. That was like
Nazi themed. Was it? It was Matt who watched it, and it was.
Yeah, it was. Was it Dasarai?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes. That. Yeah. Okay. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
It definitely had magic Nazis. No time traveling though.
Oh, okay.
That's splitting hairs at this point. But okay, Matt. Who is your vote going to?
Well, I don't ever want to hear about Kiss spreading their seed ever again. So I can't, in good conscience, vote for Curtis. And
yeah, that's what I see in the opening.
But
oh god, it'd be like in Gundam Wing. There's a. Oh, sorry, I don't want to interrupt you. So go ahead.
Let me finish. we can always spend an episode talking about your Gundam ideas. But
go ahead. I don't want to interrupt.
I will say I can't also condone time traveling Hitler. I'm afraid it's a little overdone. So I have to give it to the fucking intergalactic ice cream truck man Brian.
Oh my god. Okay.
Alex the ice cream man.
If you can just imagine Kung Fu Hustle and that one, oh, what was it, like Way of the Warrior? It was the, like, samurai comes to the Old West town. Matt, we saw it in college.
It was just called, like, The Ninja or some dumb shit like that.
It was really... not as campy as I wanted it to be, but it was okay.
It was fine. It was a dumb movie. And it wasn't as over the top as it should have been. It might have been Way of the Warrior.
Oh.
So on you then, Brian.
What I wanted to quickly say that my great idea for the opening, being Gundam Wing, there was always a shot of the Earth, and you would see the like six Gundam heading towards those like red comets, and it'd spin around. It's the first shot in the second opening of Gundam Wing.
It's Gene Simmons' sperm.
So instead of this, it would be the form his sperm spinning, and then in the middle, a guitar would thrust through the Earth. Or be Gene's tongue or something.
Gene's tongue would just split the earth in twain.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Brian's the kingmaker now. You can either create a four-way tie, or you can name someone in charge.
I'm split, and I'm gonna just walking them through, Matt. You did not have comedy, and you made an honest-to-goodness anime plot that would be a good video game. Curtis, there was a solid couple seconds where I forgot where Bionicle came into things, and then you mentioned a giant Gundam.
It's a real-life giant.
That's good.
Giant, because like, it'd be a Bionicle, and it'd be silly.
Simon, I'm so sorry, but at the same time, you took Lemons and you made Cowboy Hitler the evil cattle rustler. Just when you thought he couldn't get no worse, that doggone Hitler keeps stealing my cows. Oh, and he'd brand them with a swastika, and that would be so dumb.
Yes, oh, he would. God. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. You know what? Fuck it. We're all kings.
Hey!
Yay! We all win. Oh, okay. Matt, the rules have been broken.
The rules. Okay. We have a four-way tie, which, in fairness, every single one was great to my ears from you guys. So initially, the plan was the winner was going to choose any manga of their choice, and we were going to read it. And we would have to talk about it within the next couple of weeks. But now there's a four-way tie, so I don't know what to do. So we may just take our losses, because next week I realize that we probably are going to have to do a summer season preview. So maybe we will all just take our victories and put them on the scoreboard, and we all get a point. Do you know what? Actually, I've decided there is a scoreboard behind the bar each year. We're going to tally it up. Everyone gets a point. We're all on there, boys. I don't know what you'll win at the end. You'll become the ultimate Anime on Tap winner. But yeah, we'll do that. Next week, we'll do a summer season preview. That's going to be a hefty boy to tackle, because I have not looked at it. But yeah, there we go. We're all winners. Congratulations, everybody. I hope you're all winners who've been listening. You're the real victors, because you've got to hear this absolute liquid gold.
What's important that Lego didn't even know he was on the board, but he is in last.
Yes.
That is the end of episode 2. Hope you all enjoyed it there. It's been an emotional roller coaster for everyone involved. And that's pretty much it we've got. I think we're going to end the show on the Lucky Star opening, because I don't... Well, maybe not. That's probably copyrighted. I don't know. What do you reckon? Shall we try it? See if we get away with it?
Do whatever you want.
Let's try it. If it goes down, it goes down. If we get
it's not like we're going to be monetized.
Exactly. Let's fucking fuck it. Let's do it. Let's see what happens. This is the Lucky Star opening, chosen by Curtis. He hasn't personally chose it, but he talked about it, so it's relevant to the episode.
By extension.
If it does get stripped from the episode, we make Curtis do a cover of it.
Oh my god. I want to hear at least the sick bass slaps that Curtis has talked about.
Hi, my something. So sweet, but the guy. Oh god, why did I just do that? Fuck.
Don't worry about it. I do like, okay, the one thing I can see, because I said that I don't like the song, but I do like
Bomb cheerleaders, let's get cherry pie. I love that part so much.
Yeah, I mean, you've given me enough to remix to put. We're gonna
wake up the 20 videos in the team chat going just this being
worked. Oh,
if I
here's the video.
If I find an instrumental,
hey guys, here I am recording the Lucky Star opening.
Yeah, do you guys remember the Lucky Star? The one thing I do like about it is the little rap bit that. It's not rap, it's just one of them fast talking.
Yeah.
That'd
be the hard
part. I love them bits.
That's hard. I mean, you did talk about how much you like the karaoke bit at the end of the episode.
There you go.
So, how appropriate.
It all links in.
To have a karaoke bit.
It all links in. But yeah, join us next week. We're going to be doing a summer season of anime preview, which will be some fun times, I'm sure. But until next time, unless you guys have anything else to throw in, we'll see you out.
Thank God. No, it's been a great time. So yeah, nothing to throw in.
Awesome. Right. Mm-hmm. Get the fuck out. We've told you it's closing time already. Get the fuck out of the bar because we said it. I'm going to get the bouncers on you. That's me. Look at these fucking muscles. I'm going to do you in. But please come back next week. Thank you. I love you. We'll have a penis butler installed in the bar by then. Bye.
Bye.